I thought it was going to be easy. That's the title of my sermon. We're in Exodus chapter 5. We're going to look at almost all the chapter, verses 1 through 21. For 2 years, I had felt the call of God for me to transition from being a lawyer and a lay elder, mostly lawyer, to a church revitalizer and just a little bit of a lawyer. I've been praying for that. And God gave me the desire of my heart. I started meeting with these five older men. They were deacons at a church that was dwindling and in a lot of ways dying. And they were contemplating shutting their doors. And they asked me to fill the pulpit for a minute while they figured out how to do that. So I did. And after a couple of months into this time, these five guys that I've been meeting with regularly said, "We want you to be our interim pastor and see how this goes, and maybe you'll stay here for a long time." And I started to get excited. This is the mission I've been looking for. I wanted to be on that mission. I wanted to fix this broken church. I wanted to see God's glory bubbling up and all the fruit right there in front of my eyeballs. And the week before the vote, one of those five deacons started a telephone campaign to tell the church not to vote for me. And I could go on, but I just wanted to give you just a little sample test taste of the mission as I stepped into it. I thought it was going to be easy. Look at Exodus chapter 5 with me, will you? Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore," they cry, "let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words." So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, "Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least." So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, your daily task each day is when there was straw." And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not done all your task of making bricks today and yesterday as in the past?" Then the foreman of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, "Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, 'Make bricks,' and behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people." But he said, "You are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Go now and work. No straw will be given you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks." The foreman of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, "You shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day." They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came out from Pharaoh, and they said to them, "The Lord look on you and judge, because you have made a stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Friends, the gospel mission is hard. It's supposed to be, though. The gospel mission is hard, but it was always meant to be. You know, as I started my ministry at Union Lake, it was as if I walked into a building and somebody handed me a beautiful, glossy, full-color, trifold pamphlet that said mission across the top. And I was like, "Yeah!" And I didn't open it up to read the details and all the warnings and stuff. I had no idea the gospel mission was hard. I thought it was supposed to be easy. But boy, this text lays it out for us, doesn't it? Gospel mission is hard because men oppose God's message. That's just the natural state of affairs. We should know that going in. That's the venue in which the mission goes out. Mission's hard because men oppose God's message. First of all, they don't know God. So forget the message. They don't even know Him. So they're not about to cooperate with you on a mission that you're going out on in the name of this God that they don't know. And we see it right there in the text, right? I mean, it's really brazen language there in verse 2. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." You see the connection? I don't know Him, and I am opposed to what you're saying. Gospel mission is hard because men oppose God's message. They do so because they don't know God, and also because they see His message as a threat to them. We also see that in the text. Do you see that? I mean, it's like this gong that just keeps going. It's just like hurting our ears about the work. You're taking them away from their burdens. Go back to your burdens. You're idle. Get back to work. And so we see this over and over again. But why is Pharaoh saying that? Because that's how the Israelites are serving Him. You see, Moses comes in with this message that tells the people to serve God, and Pharaoh sees that as a threat. He sees himself as God. People are to serve me. That's why the mission's hard, friends. Men oppose God's message. They don't know Him, and they see His mission as a threat. And what's more, they hear that message, and they think it's a straight-up lie. Because they don't believe that this God exists. And they believe you've got ulterior motives, and what you're saying is just a straight up lie. Did you see that in verses 8 and 9? Number of bricks they made in the past, you shall impose on them. He's talking to the taskmasters. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, let us go and offer sacrifice to God. So that's implicit that he thinks it's a lie, right? They've got another motive here. They're just trying to get out of work, trying to get out of serving me. But then it just even amps up. Look at verse 9. Let heavier work be laid on the men that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words. Did you know you signed up for that, friends, in gospel mission? That you operate in a world that opposes God's message because they think what you got to say is a straight up lie. Gospel mission is hard. Sin is this huge obstacle. But it's the constant. It doesn't matter if you're in Indiana or Metro Detroit or Chicago or South Africa or wherever you're ministering. Sin's the problem. And sin gets in the way. I mean, 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us natural men, they don't understand spiritual things. They can't. It's impossible. As long as they're natural men anyway. Romans tells us that men in their sins suppress the truth. They know God exists, and yet they deny him. And that is the world in which gospel ministers operate. Friends, the gospel mission's hard. But it's supposed to be. Mission's hard, secondly, because it brings suffering to God's people. It does. I mean, we see it in our text at a great distance from our own lives. It's almost like this academic idea that these people that are enslaved making bricks, the brick making is going to be harder because now they don't have the straw and I don't make bricks, so what does that mean anything to me? But they had already a couple of chapters ago cried out under the weight of slavery. And now it's even harder because this joker has come and said, these people are God's people. They need to serve God. That's a hard mission because you know what happened? It brought harm to God's people. Made their lives, which were already not great, all the way down to the bottom. No straws provided. Go find it yourself. And by the way, you better still get the work done. And if you don't, I'm going to take it out on you. And that'll make the work easier the next day, won't it? That wasn't enough. Think about when you're amped up in your stress and you're having people oppose what it is you're trying to do. Then you have people getting up in your face and telling you about how wrong it is you're doing it. That's not really the right way to say it. Let me back that up a minute. I'm talking about the people and their suffering here. And as they're suffering, as they're experiencing this suffering because of the message that God's man has spouted, the taskmasters are just all over them. Keep working! Keep getting it done! If that's not enough, the kind of managers that are of their own people are doing the same thing. It's just, I can't even get myself to imagine what that must look like. But you know, our Savior told those original disciples that the gospel mission was going to be hard. John 15:19, you're not of this world. And because of that, because I chose you out of the world, we're going to hate you. That's a McKeever paraphrase. You identify with the Lord, go out on his mission, and everybody that's associated with that message, the world hates. Now, they might not experience slavery, but there's going to be hatred nonetheless. And it's going to make the mission hard. It's not going to make it easier. This is just a simple illustration. But the quick ramp up of hatred of the world against me in this one little Facebook moment, I think, demonstrates the point, at least in our realm here. Justice Ginsburg died, and I was meditating on that reality, and I posted this very, I thought, how can I leverage these thoughts I'm having to make people ponder about eternity? And I simply posted something like this: in light of Justice Ginsburg's recent death, have you considered what will happen when you die? Something like that. And people I didn't know and never heard of, for pages and pages and pages, with their claws out. I mean, it was just, I didn't suffer physically, personally. I was never, afraid for my life or something, but it was insane, the amount of opposition, and I didn't even mention Jesus' name. Just the fact that I was starting to take a half a step in the direction of the gospel message. The mission's hard, brothers. It's hard because men oppose God's message, and it's hard because it brings suffering to God's people. And it's also hard because God's people can lose hope. Before we look at what's going on in our text in that regard, I just want to make sure we set a little bit of context. Look at the end of chapter 4 there. Verse 29. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. So just before Moses goes and speaks to Pharaoh, that's what happened. Moses and Aaron told the people God had visited him and what the plan was, and they believed and they worshipped. And then the mission started. Pharaoh kicked him out of his court, caused the people to suffer. But then what happened? Look at the impact on the people themselves. The ones that were worshiping and high-fiving themselves because God had heard their cry. Look at verse 19 there. The foreman of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble. And then they come out and they meet Moses and Aaron, who are waiting for them because they knew they had gone into Pharaoh to make a plea to maybe try to get things lightened up for them. And they said to Moses and Aaron, "The Lord look on you and judge, because you have made our situation infinitely worse. Thanks." They called God's judgment down on God's deliverer. Boy, things went south in a hurry. The gospel mission is hard. But it's supposed to be. I mean, I hope I've convinced you that it's hard. Maybe you didn't need that convincing. I say it's supposed to be, but I guess what I really mean is, in Moses' case, it was supposed to be. I mean, isn't that what God had told him from Jump Street? Mm-hmm. He told him back in chapter 3, you're going to go and it ain't going to work. Pharaoh's heart's going to be hardened. He's not going to let the people go. And then later, down the line, after a lot of other stuff happens, then I'm going to deliver them. For Moses, the gospel mission was supposed to be hard. From the very beginning. There's no surprise here. It was supposed to be hard, but why? It was supposed to be hard so that God would get the glory in delivering his people. Moses was never meant to get glory. God was meant to get glory. We could spend a lot of time talking about God's glory in this text and even in this book. But think of just a couple of things that surround our text, or rather follow our text. Exodus 7 and verse 5. God says, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out Israel from among them. The Egyptians are going to give me glory when I judge them and they see my might and I deliver my people. And several chapters later, Moses is going to sing a song on the other side. It starts this way. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. That's the deliverer singing that song about God doing the work. See, for Moses' mission, it was supposed to be hard. From beginning to end, so that God would get glory in the deliverance. It was supposed to be hard back then. But it's hard today too, isn't it? You guys can testify, can't you? You got anything hard going on in your gospel mission today? Where do we start? Don't you wish, brothers, that there was a purpose to the mission being hard for us today? I mean, if I was in Moses' shoes, sure, right? He said ahead of time that it was going to be hard so that God could come in and do the delivering and get the glory, but what about us? Is there a purpose to our suffering? Is there a purpose to the gospel mission being hard? To men being opposed to the mission? To God himself and his message? Is there a purpose to the gospel mission actually bringing suffering to God's people in every place? Is there a purpose to men losing heart even under our own ministries? I mean, it seems almost nonsense when Paul says twice to Timothy in 2 Timothy, share in the suffering. Come on in, water's warm. Share in suffering for the gospel, he says in 2 Timothy 1:8. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, though, for just a sec. Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the Word of God's not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Friends, there is a purpose to the gospel mission being hard. It's supposed to be hard. Because the suffering of God's men as they go out in the mission brings about the glorious salvation of the elect. Now, that does not mean your 5-year plan is going to come to pass. That does not mean your new evangelism explosion program is going to be dynamite. It doesn't mean even that people in your own flock will trust you, will treat you kindly, will follow you when you implore them on the basis of the gospel to live a holy life and forsake their sin. The gospel mission's hard, but it's supposed to be. God has said he would build his church, and it would be on the basis of Jesus' suffering that didn't look like much. Nobody thought so as he hung there. But it's his death that brings life. We see that pattern all in the New Testament. And I would just submit to you today that if you're in a difficult spot right now, friends, you just need to embrace this reality that the gospel mission is supposed to be hard. It's so that God gets glory, so that through your feeble efforts, faithful but feeble efforts that bring about all of this opposition, God will build his church. But not in a way that you get glory, but in a way that we will sing after Moses, that he is our salvation. That's my message to you today. That's my encouragement to you today. Keep going in the mission. It's hard. I know it's hard. It's really, it's unbearably hard at times. But oh, is there a sweeter thing that we could devote our lives to? That God would gloriously deliver his people, even through the efforts of a guy like me. Let's pray.